context.
I give you the history.
I fight fake news with facts.
Kayode.
Let me talk.
No, Kayode, I will let you talk. Kayode. Kayode, I will let you talk if you let me talk. Kayode.
That's why more and more Lagosians are tuning in.
500,000 Lagosians.
720,000.
970,000.
Over 1 million Lagosians. They know that if you give me your afternoon, I will give you hard facts.
Well done, Sandra, and all you do. Going beyond the headlines and focusing on the facts.
I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
Hello, Lagos. Good afternoon. I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts. If you are listening to us for the first time, congratulations, you are in great company. 1 million Lagosians listen to this show. 1 million Lagosians cannot be wrong. Thank you for joining them and tuning in. I have a great show for you, starting with the Big Three Global Edition. Let's talk about Nigeria withdrawing from international basketball for 2 years over the NBBF crisis. Then let's talk about Sri Lanka's Prime Minister resigning over nationwide protests. And then let's talk about Elon Musk's plans after buying Twitter, if he still buys it. At 3:45, Ayobe will be here with ideas. At 4 o'clock, Agogo will be here with Public Square. And after that, Music and Moments with Ifanyi and Sam will take the air from 6 p.m. Expect news, business, sports at the top of the hour every hour. But let's get started with the big one. Well, the big three, really. Global Edition. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
Global Edition on Hard Facts.
Why are there two factional Nigeria basketball federations? Why do politicians in some countries, but not in others, resign in shame? Will Elon Musk back out of acquiring Twitter? It's the Big Three Global Edition, Lagos. Let's talk. Today is the day we let Nigeria rest and we take on the biggest stories from around the world. But on some days, like today, a Nigerian story is a global story. President Buhari has pulled Nigeria out of international basketball for the next 2 years. That's our first story. He took this decision because of an 8-year crisis in the administration of basketball, which the sports ministry could not resolve. The Nigeria Basketball Federation, NBBF, is the body that runs basketball in the country. It's like the NFF for football or the AFN for athletics. This body, the NBBF, is the only one recognized by FIBA, the global body, and the International Olympic Committee. But there's a problem with NBBF. The problem is there are two NBBFs. Earlier this year, two factions held two separate elections and produced two separate ESCOs. One of those ESCOs is recognized by FIBA and the IOC. In fact, FIBA sent a representative to their ESCO election in Benin City this year. But the other ESCO seems to be recognized by the Nigerian Ministry of Sports. Now, each of these ESCOs is insisting that they are the real one, and the other one is falsely parading itself. And this problem did not start with this year's election. Like I said, it's been going on for about 8 years. And what is puzzling most basketball journalists and analysts and fans is the government's decision to pull out of international competition for 2 years. The statement said, quote, government intends to utilize this period to break to address all contentious issues among stakeholders. The terms of reference and membership of the interim management committee will be announced in due course, end quote. So the government is going to set up this interim management committee to run basketball in the country, and it's going to use this two-year self-imposed exile to set up this IMC and also to settle the disputes between these two factions. But while that is going on, Lagos, Nigerian basketball players and teams will miss out on global action for 2 years. So let me tell you some of the tournaments that they will be forced to miss. Men's World Cup qualifying, the Women's World Cup, the Commonwealth Games, AfroBasket Women, that's like the AFCON of basketball, the Men's World Cup. These tournaments, we're going to be forced to miss it because we exiled ourselves. The Basketball Africa League is also another tournament. That's like the Champions League of African basketball, where top clubs from different countries come to play. We already missed the last one. Our national champion was Rivers Hoppers. They were supposed to go to the BAL, but this factional crisis stopped them. Now, even before we crown our next national champion, we now know that they won't go to BAL. So the question is, must the players and fans suffer while this crisis is being resolved? Also, bear in mind, Nigeria is at risk of being banned by FIBA because of this pullout. Because FIBA Charter says that member federations should not accept government interference. And here we have a government ordering the federation to pull out of international competition. Now, whenever this comes up, supporters of government usually shout that government is supreme in its own home country. But you have to remember that the MBBF signed the FIBA Charter. It reminds me of all of the conversations we often have about ECOWAS courts and all of the charters that Nigeria signs on to. Nobody forces them to sign these charters. They voluntarily agreed to abide by the rules. And one of the rules is, don't let government interfere. Another rule says that a member federation must take part in all tournaments it is eligible for. So this voluntary pullout is a violation. The other question is, what are these factions gaining by letting this dispute get to this point? Lagos, I want to have this conversation with you. So tell me, why haven't these two admins, the admins, the execs in the Nigerian Basketball Federation, been able to resolve their dispute? Why are there two factions of the NBBF? Why is the ministry recognizing one faction while FIBA and IOC are recognizing the other one? And do you think that pulling out of international basketball for 2 years will solve anything? We're on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM. We're also on WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. Give us a call, 0700-993-993-993. 0700-993-993-993. That's for men. Women, call us on 01465-7190. 01465-7190. And what's actually doing my head in about this thing is that maybe we just we're currently champions. No be so. Nigeria's the Tigers and the Tigress are currently enjoying like our best spell in international basketball. We're winning titles, we're qualifying for big tournaments. So how does this make sense? How does pulling us out of tournaments for 2 years, this man won't even be president in a few months, how does this make sense? Does it make sense to you? Maybe it does. 01465-7190, 0700-993-993-993. Hello, how are you? Thanks for calling.
Yeah, my name is Ruben from Yaba.
Welcome, Ruben.
Yeah, this MBBS problem has been going on for long, mm-hmm. and it's very, very hard. And the son of President Buhari to remove Nigeria from the world this thing is very, very funny to me. I was shocked when I heard of it. I was like, what thing concern Buhari concern basketball? Like, seriously. I was just like, what happened? Though this Sunday Dare, this Minister of Sports, in fact, all of them, Solomon Dalong, and I've forgotten the other ones, KOJ, they have always wanted to control anything that's not football. They always want to put chook eye into everything. They know they can't try it with football, especially NFF. Because if it happens, and Nigeria not qualify for the World Cup, Nigeria not even qualify for the World
Cup. What do you mean they can't try it with football? They did it now. Abacha did it now. Abacha pulled us out of international football for years.
Oof. Abacha.
Yes, now.
And since after that, have they tried it?
They've not tried it again, but you said they can't try it. I'm telling you that they have done it before.
Hey, they have done it before. I agree. But they won't try it again.
Okay.
Because we know what we went through during that time. We went through a lot now. We were blacked out of football. And Nigeria was where at its peak at that point. So they won't try it again.
But you're forgetting that Jonathan tried to do it in 2010.
Did he succeed?
Yeah, because FIFA threatened him now.
Did Nigerians allow him to succeed?
FIFA threatened
allow
him
to succeed?
Okay. So you're saying, what are you saying about this one? You're saying it's because they don't rate basketball. That's why they're doing it?
That is it. It's basketball, chess, Scrabble, which... Mention it is not football.
All right, we've got Sade and Ikeja on the line. Hi, Sade.
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm all right. Welcome.
So, you ask many questions, and that part of the answer is no, no, greed, silliness, and no. Just fill in the blank on all of them like that. See, when I heard today, I was like, Lord, is this where we've reached? Because, see, for me, I put the problem right at Sunday Gary's foot. Because it's like his faction is the one that shouldn't be. Okay, I'm partial. But I just feel like his faction should belong to Step Down. But that's another story for another day. Because, for me, this decision is not a good one in any way you want to look at it. Because I don't think it's going to make a difference. See, after 2 years, they're still going to, except they remove both current factions and tell them not to be anything with basketball. For like maybe another 5 years, and then they get new people to contest. That then we might be able to see, okay, something positive come out of this 2 year ban, which I'm still hoping that tomorrow I wake up and they'll be like, oh, they reversed this. So, you know, we like to reverse things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that will still happen.
Mm.
But cut away from that, if it's still these same two guys that you want them to resolve, you haven't been able to resolve it for how many years? You know, and have you heard them speak? Maybe that's why I picked one of them, the one that knows how to speak better English. I'm like, oh, I like you. I like your cause. Maybe that's I can't remember his name now. But they all sound like, you know, they're on the right side, which is why I know that both of them can never find, like, solution as long as both chairmen, or whatever they call them, are at that point. So if we're going to go through with this, they should make sure both of them, like, they are banned. They're also banned for another 5 years. That they cannot contest for anything. And we bring in new blood into the MBBS. Mm. That's my thing.
Sade, thanks for calling. Always a pleasure to hear from you. 99.3, hello.
Hi, Sandra.
How you doing?
Very good, and you?
Do you think this is a good idea, a good move, you know?
Honestly speaking, it is not.
What's your name?
Joe Baba.
Welcome.
And permit me to say good afternoon to Makari Modi, Mr. Makari Modi. I'm sure if you're listening, you'll be eager to also call into this fantastic topic you brought in. Sandra, I want to also salute your, you know, understanding in this topic that you brought in. That last caller, I was just laughing. See, whatever Mr. Sunday Dare, the minister, present minister, have advised or put in on the table for the president to do this, it is not a very good move at all. I mean, you just said it all. The Tigers are enjoying the best, you know, fame and the title to back it up, both in Africa. I mean, look at the Tigers, the women, going to the World Cup, performing very well, the best in Africa, the last time I could remember in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Now you are now banning them. My own, you know, solution should have been Amadou Kida, the one the sports ministry is supporting, and the other faction, which I can't remember the name of the president now,
mm-hmm.
they should have told both of them to leave that offices, and an election should come up. Then somebody should be elected. I mean, sports ministers, they have that, you know, power to ban two of them away. The dragging is just too much. I mean, I remember Colonel Sam Ahmedu in his own time, and he's just going and going. But nevertheless,
the gladiators, the players are doing very well. I mean, we won't defend our FIBA competition now. The ones that we've qualified for will not be going, and president is just taking this decision. I regretted what Abacha did in 1998. Because if Super Eagles has gone from 1994 winning in Tunisia to South Africa to Burkina Faso 98, we will have won the one South Africa won too. Yeah. So it's a rash decision.
Rash decision, by the
president.
Joe Baba, thank you very much for calling Lagos. If you just tuned in, hello to you. We're talking about Nigeria pulling out of international basketball for the next 2 years. Well, Nigeria didn't do it. The president did it. President Buhari has pulled Nigeria out of international basketball for the next 2 years. He says that this decision is because of an 8-year crisis in the administration of basketball, which the sports ministry could not resolve. So many analysts and journalists and fans are looking at the government statement and they're like, this is puzzling. This is so puzzling. This is so puzzling. Because the government says they will set up an interim management committee to run basketball in the country. They're going to use this 2-year self-imposed exile to set up the IMC, settle the disputes between the two factions that are in the NBBF. But while that is happening, Nigerian basketball players, Nigerian basketball teams, Nigerian basketball fans will see our teams sit out of global action for 2 years. Imagine as at 2 years. Men's World Cup qualifying, Women's World Cup, Commonwealth Games, AfroBasket, Men's World Cup, Basketball Africa League. Rivers Hoppers are currently the champions of that. They won't even be able to crown the next champions. Sorry, Hoopers, not Hoppers. I don't know why I keep calling them Hoppers. Hoopers. So I'm still asking, like, is this the way? Is this the answer? Especially when you think about the fact that we're actually violating charters that we signed up to. Do you know we're doing that? Must the players and fans suffer while they're trying to resolve their crisis of NBBF? Would they not have set up the IMC and still be in international competitions? Why do the players and the fans have to suffer? And the suffering may be long-term. Because remember that I told to you that Nigeria is at risk of being banned by FIBA. FIBA is the FIFA of basketball. We're at risk of being banned by FIBA. FIBA charter says member federations should not accept government interference. Here we have a government ordering the federation to pull out of international competition. This is a charter they voluntarily signed. So that's an answer for people who will come and tell me, oh, governments are supreme. They voluntarily agreed to abide by the rules of FIBA when they signed the FIBA charter. One of the rules is don't let government interfere. Another rule is a member federation must take part in all tournaments it is eligible for. So this voluntary pullout is a violation. Every time I say pullout, I want to laugh. Now, these factions that we have, what are they gaining by letting this dispute get to this point? Like I said, it's been going on for about 8 years. Let's take a break. We'll keep talking when we come back. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. This is Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. You're listening to the Big 3 Global Edition. We're looking at international stories every Friday from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. Don't go away.
You are listening to your number one station for talk.
99.3 Nigeria Info.
99.3.
My moderator, timekeeper, my fellow co-debater. My name is Samita Kaushik. I'm 13 years old.
In March, it was Ruth Okorocha.
That's the moderator, honorary badge educator, school debater, viewers and listeners. I'm Ruth Okorocha, bona fide student of Kingsley College.
Who will it be in May?
The to the economic situation of our country, individuals prefer to migrate to other countries in search of greener pastures.
The I Beg to Differ debate tournament is back on May 9th.
1,862 data breaches were recorded, quadrupling the amount of data breaches in recent years.
16 new debaters.
There is lots of capital invested in the subsidized public education.
17 new debate topics.
How can you say you are punishing me and it's helping me? How? It's not a punishment.
And on Children's Day, we'll do what we usually do
and end it with
one winner, 1 million naira. Join me, Sandra Ezekwesili, and catch all the action Mondays to Thursdays at 4 p.m. on Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. For partnership and sponsorship opportunities, send an email to ibegtodiffer@nigeriainfo.fm. Again, ibegtodiffer@nigeriainfo.fm.
This is Digital Life.
Mandate of the Bureau is to implement the Nigeria Data Protection Regulation.
How do you ensure that third-party places that are not the individuals who registered cannot access that information?
Somebody going out to take a loan from a company and then you don't read the details.
Inventors and inventions.
John, Emmanuel says you designed the phone you're using at the moment. Is that true?
Yes, that's true. I designed a phone called Mi 40 Pro. 512 GB internal memory and then 12 GB RAM.
Wow.
Tech heads and data.
And there are some applications, when you are making use of them, they will tell you for permission access to your phone. Some of these applications actually record your voice conversations. It's also part of their terms and conditions.
Join us on Digital Life every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 12 noon, only on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
Young lady, finish up your breakfast. We're almost late. I still need to drop you off at school before heading out to work.
If I don't head out soon, I'm going to miss the staff bus.
No breakfast for you. But Mom said that it's the most important meal of the day.
Yes, it is. And that's why I have packed tasty, nutritious sandwiches made with Blue Band, guaranteed to keep us physically and mentally alert.
High five, Mom.
Yay!
You are the best.
I know.
Start off your day with a tasty and nourishing breakfast with Blue Band, enriched with vitamins A, D, B6, B12, niacin, and folic acid. A great future starts with a nutritious breakfast with Blue Band. Grow their success day by day.
Lagos, Nigeria. Something big is coming to you on the 15th of May, 2022. Get ready for an unforgettable evening of praise and worship at BJ Sack Live. Happening at Eco Hotel and Suites. Featuring Tossie B, Moses Blee, Tunsi Oyeko, Chigozie Wisdom, Messi Chimbo, Adeyuka Alashiori. For bookings and reservations, call 00589828 and 0813258 8595. See you there.
Many people are in business, but not everyone means business. The people who mean business never say no to money, cash, card, or transfer. These ones grab business opportunities with their full chest. Keep an eye on things that matter, like people, cash flow, and how it all adds up. They do not only know their onions, they know their numbers. They mean business. With Number, you mean business. Visit www.number.com, that is N-O-M-B-A, number.com, to get started.
We're back on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. This is the Big Three Global Edition. We're bringing you some of the biggest stories that broke this week all over the world. And one of the global stories is a Nigerian story. But let me take you to Sri Lanka, where something phenomenal happened. Their prime minister has resigned in response to nationwide protests. That's our second story. Mahinda Rajapaksa has submitted his resignation letter to President Gotabaya Rajapaksa, his younger brother, earlier this week. I've talked about this before with you, you know, why Sri Lankans are protesting. They've been on the streets for weeks because of rising food prices, rising fuel prices, and reduced power supply. And the reduction in power supply that we're talking about is like 12 hours a day from, you know, 24 hours a day of power, or a few hours, like, you know, they'll have like 20 hours and they won't have 4 hours. So yeah, that's why they're protesting. A couple of weeks ago, I told you that all the ministers had resigned because of the people's anger. But that wasn't enough for the protesters. They stayed on the streets, and now the prime minister has resigned. But the protesters are insisting that even this is not enough. They say that they want the president to join his brother and resign. By the way, I want you to notice something. We're not hearing anyone in Sri Lanka saying that the protesters should be shot because they're trying to bring down the government. I mean, these protesters are literally demanding the resignation of the president, the prime minister, all the ministers, and they have all resigned now, by the way, except the president. But this is not being talked about like treason. On the other hand, we have seen protesters being attacked. Thugs have attacked protesters there in Sri Lanka in a bid to try to paint the protesters as violent. But the protesters have defended themselves and they've remained on the street. And this all brings me back to something we talk about a lot here on a Big Three Global: protest culture. Maybe this should be a debate topic on I Beg to Differ. I should make a note of it. Seriously, protest culture. We talk about protest culture because we see these types of protests in so many countries. And we also see that in some of those countries, government bows to the protesters' demands. But in other cases, government cracks down hard. And I wonder what you think the factors are behind the differences. What do you think the factors behind the differences are? Why are people in some countries more likely to put pressure on government through protests than others? Why are some governments more likely to yield to the voice of protesters than others? 0700-993-993-993. That's for men. Women, call me on 01465-7190. You can still talk to me about President Buhari pulling Nigeria out of international basketball for the next 2 years. You can send us messages via WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. Hello, thanks for calling us.
Andy Sandra.
Good to have you on the show, sir. What's your name?
This is Mr. Frank from Odualaba, the vice president of ASFAS.
Welcome.
Yes. And Sandra, I like the way you end that story, that they have been on the street for some weeks, either 1 week or thereabouts.
More than two, they've been on the streets for a while.
And nobody shoot them or nobody shot them. So we both said it. And now, one of the ministers has resigned. Is it not true?
All the ministers have resigned, and the prime minister has also resigned.
Did you know the reason why?
Why?
Did you know the reason why? If Nigerians, after their education here, as in their secondary, university levels here, they will go to abroad to do their master's, because they want to go there and learn. Here is not an English country. That is why education is very, very good in our lives. And in this country, education is very, very good. Look at the people that is educated, how they do their thing. The people that can read and write, look at the way they do their thing. Congratulations to them. Now for the basket. Are you hearing me?
I'm hearing you. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I don't have much to say because today now is May 13th. Quarter, May 29th. The other day. Another day. Mm-hmm. There we go. That's exactly 1 year today. So, what we need to do now is this. Everybody should join the hand. Let this people and the entire family go. Because if you do a mistake and put these people back, or any at all of them back, they will continue from where their brothers stop. That is all we need to do, because we have suffered. And anybody that says that he is happy, to vote for them. Let us sweep these people, use that in their broom, and sweep them all away. And have a fresh air. That is the only solution.
All right, Frank, sorry about that. Thanks for calling, though. By the way, the president in Sri Lanka has appointed an opposition politician as the new prime minister. His name is Ranil Wickremesinghe. I'm sure I'm not pronouncing his name correctly. But yes, that's the new prime minister in Sri Lanka. And even though this is happening, protests are still continuing. People have died. More than 300 people have been injured. But people are still on the streets protesting. And that's why I'm asking, why are people in some countries more likely to put pressure on government through protests than others? And why are some governments more likely to yield to the voice of protesters than others? What are the factors behind that phenomenon, if you like? 99.3, hello.
Hey, Sandra.
Good to have you on the show, sir. Is that Kevin?
Yes, to God be the glory.
Welcome. Go ahead.
You see, democracy, one of the ingredients of democracy is protest. And the government, especially in Africa, they always snub or ignore protest.
So are we not democratic here?
That is why our democracy has not been fine-tuned. We have not grown yet. And that is why this is continuing. You talked about Iman appointing an opposition party member in his cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
It can hardly happen here. I don't think it has happened before. But I've seen in other advanced democracies, like, for example, Robert Gates was a Republican, but he worked for Obama, and they worked well. So, you see, African democracy, we are not yet there. I don't know where we're going to be there. Some people keep calling it nasty democracy. How long? Some people keep giving me examples. This one, democracy has been 200 years. This one is 100 years. They set up on somewhere. We haven't even started at all. So we have a long way to go to nurture our democracy. There's no how you will not protect democracy. If you don't have protest democracy, then what's the essence of democracy? There's no sense then. Let us go back to dictatorship. So I congratulate the people who have been following it, the international media and news. I saw the way they were, you know, resilient, keep protesting and doing all that. So congratulations to them. But I think they still have a long way to go. If I remember Sri Lanka very well, one of the fantastic things I remember about them is wiping away the terrorists in their country. They dealt massively with those terrorists. And that today, I don't think there's anything like terrorism in their country. So I wish them well. They should go on. On your first story, I think history is repeating itself again, sadly. And after what went through during the military era, when we had a fantastic team that would have won the Nations Cup back-to-back, and all that was truncated because of one man's decision, it is not happening. Everything we have in Nigeria must always have factions. Do you know that the Supporters Club of Nigeria has factions? Father, don't tell me you don't know. And that is why it's sad that we continue like this all the time. We keep doing the same thing, which about Einstein, you know, defined as insanity. So for me, let us get our act together. We cannot continue to do like this. Let us know why people all this thing we are doing. Look at the Supporters Club in England. England, all those clubs you see in Europe. They don't have any Supporters Club in England. England National Supporters Club or Brazil National Supporters Club. They don't have. It's only in Africa and Nigeria. We should do Nigerian Supporters Clubs.
Yeah, now, so you can travel now. How else will you travel?
Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you, Kevin, for calling. Let me bring you our third story, because I have about 5 minutes before Ayobi kicks me out of the studio. I actually have about 3 minutes. But yeah, Elon Musk's plan to buy Twitter is on hold. That's our third story. He is the world's richest man, and he put together a $44 billion deal to buy Twitter. At first, the shareholders were resisting the offer, but eventually they accepted in principle. After that, we saw more investors join Musk in the bid, including Oracle founder Larry Ellison, Saudi Prince Al Walid. Well, those are the ones I can remember right now. But today, Musk announced on Twitter that the Twitter deal was on hold. He was responding to a report from Twitter that fake accounts comprise less than 5% of its users. And Musk said, quote, Twitter deal temporarily on hold, pending details supporting calculation that spam slash fake accounts do indeed represent less than 5% of users, end quote. So Musk is saying that he has doubts over whether the fake account figure is really that low, and he will not go ahead with the deal until he gets more details. Now, of course, Musk has previously said that one of his plans as Twitter owner would be to ensure that all users are authenticated to be real human beings. But a lot of commentators are saying that they doubt Elon Musk's doubt. What I mean by that is they don't think this report on fake accounts is the real reason that he's pausing the deal. Instead, they point to Tesla's stock price. Tesla is Musk's electric vehicle company. His Tesla stock is the biggest contributor to his current net worth. And not just that, under the terms of the Twitter deal, he would be buying Twitter stock with Tesla stock. But in the last few days, Tesla stock has been falling and falling and falling. Over the last month, Tesla stock has lost 25% of its value. And that means that if this deal goes through, Musk would need to use more of his Tesla stock to buy Twitter, losing more control of the car company as well as revenue. So some analysts think that Musk wants to wait until the current U.S. stock market crisis passes and his stock rises again before he, tries to purchase Twitter again. If you are a stockbroker or you're buying, shares abroad or you're in crypto, et cetera, you see what's happening like in the financial market. Now, of course, Twitter is not the most profitable company in the world. So it makes sense for a man like Musk to ask, why am I selling stock in a profitable company to buy an unprofitable or unprofitable one? Because we already know that Musk is worried about how Twitter makes money. He has suggested that he will start making a lot of the users start paying to tweet. Maybe something like $3 a month. In fact, I wish I had time, but I would love to know what you think about that. Would you pay 1,800 naira a month to use Twitter? Would you do that? I wish we had time, but we don't. Maybe I'll revisit the topic next week, Friday. Who knows? Maybe by then something else has happened and he won't buy it at all. Or he'll say, okay, fine, I've made up my mind, I'm going to buy it. But in any case, I have to go. Thank you so much for being a part of today's show. Ayobe will be here to bring you ideas. There's always so much fun stuff to talk about on ideas. Today she's going to focus on the resignation of Nigeria's ministers. So be here for that conversation. Be here for Public Square at 4 o'clock as well. I'm S. Ezekwesili, Sandra Ezekwesili on social media. Those were Hard Facts. Lagos, good night.
Join the conversation no matter where you are. 99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.